You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Monday, April 17th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, back from vacation. Apparently, we are still not engaged in a nuclear war with North Korea.
It's a little bit of a cloud over vacation.
Yep. Meanwhile, the Bannon-Kushner interscene battle seems to be simmering.
That part was fun.
Turkey. Well, lost, essentially. Meanwhile, Democratic gains in Illinois. Impressive showing in Kansas. And Georgia looms big for tomorrow's special election. And our Syria policy seems like no policy at all. We also have the latest and totally substantiated Trump rumors. And business wants EPA regulations gone. And Scott Pruitt says, okay. And also Paris Accords, gone. Will there be a budget battle? And Trump's ACA defund threats all wrapped up into one. Meanwhile, our national rail system is in jeopardy for the first time in 200 some odd years. And in a, what is it called? Paternity suit? Not paternity suit. Custody suit. Divorce proceedings. Alex Jones claims to be playing a character on his program.
Leave it on the field.
And finally, Cuomo's not really free college program. That universal free college thing, nah, not so much. We will talk about all that and more on today's Majority Report. Folks, so great to be back live with you. Michael is here. Matt is here. Kelly, still lost somewhere on vacation. You have no idea where she is. No, she's expected to return tomorrow. But we are all still just like floating around the office on the high that was the live Majority Report. The first live show we've done with this iteration of the show. It was at the Bell House in New York. If you have not heard the show, it is available on Monday's podcast. Of course, there was a problem with on their end with the recording of the show. So the audio is not the highest quality.
But may I say something?
It's still legible.
We don't have problems on our end anymore.
No, we don't. Now, of course, I said that in jest, knowing that old Matt was sitting in the front row. Old Matt was there. I mean, we saw so many of the Majority Report family. It was really sort of shocking and in some respects disturbing.
Oh, yes. Terrifying. I wouldn't go to New Jersey to like see this
there
show.
Was,
people came from like Ohio. It was amazing.
We had people from Canada. We had a woman came in from Belgium, not specifically for this
but
show.
Didn't she actually like extend? She figured it into her trip.
Yep. We had multiple instances of people wanting their significant other
yes.
to have carnal relations with Michael and with Matt.
Some people are taking this thing very literally.
Offers of tribute.
Yes, for the whole cup,
tribute.
The whole cuck thing. That was really uncomfortable.
Bit uncomfortable.
Speak for yourself.
And but it was also great. I met all sorts of people. One guy told me he used to listen to the show. He worked in a factory in Connecticut. Can't remember what it was he was assembling. He decided, and very much inspired by the show, to go get involved in politics. He's now like a political operative. He's gotten like two or three very progressive candidates elected in local politics. And we're going to talk about that because good stuff happened over the break in that that accord. But it was great. We gave out a bunch of free swag that we had had in the office, T-shirts and bags in anticipation of like we're gonna get do a new rollout for the website and have new logos. So it was really great to see everybody, and thank you so much for coming out. We're gonna do it again.
That was amazing.
I don't know when, but we're gonna do it again. And we only had an hour because of the nature of the thing, but just the other podcasts were very good sports because we didn't know what the breakdown was in the room. There were two shows.
Felt bad about that.
And there was like 350 people in the room, and
it turned out
like 300 of them were Majority Report fans, and we were the first show, and so the room sort of emptied out, but people were very cool about it, went back in to listen to the other show, and then we came out. So it was all great. Really appreciate your coming out. Let's just jump in with a couple of clips that, a week now, in this era of Trump, feels like we've said this many times, but it's even more overwhelming when you're gone for a week. So I guess it was I don't know when we dropped the mother of all. This was like last Wednesday, right?
I think Wednesday was when we did that.
The mother of all bombs. Now, you'll recall, longtime listeners of this program, we were talking about this bomb was, I think, first discussed during the first or second term of the Bush administration. And it is apparently the biggest bomb you can have without it being nuke, the biggest conventional bomb. My understanding is, and I've seen conflicting reports on this, but that the bomb itself had a shelf life of only like 12 years, and that it needed to be used.
Use it or lose it, war crime?
That is, now I don't know if that is accurate, but but that is one report that I read. But understand the dynamic here, and we've talked about this. Donald Trump has made it very clear. He is basically delegating his responsibility as commander in chief to the generals. And this is a fairly straightforward dynamic. There's a reason why we have civilian control of the military in this country. And that is because when you are a career military person, you do not necessarily have the widest range of experiences and perspectives on things. You know, when you're a hammer, everything's a nail. And so it's not clear why this bomb was necessary, but one thing is for sure. It definitely sent a tingle down the media's legs. And on Fox, of course, this tingle was more of like a jolting shock.
Can you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell? And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Pause it. Now, that is, of course, not a theme song written just for the most recent clips of the mother of all bombs dropping in Afghanistan. That's an existing song about just all the bombs that we drop. And but that's how they played into Fox and Friends today. But here it is. Or Wednesday, I should say.
Courtesy of the
And that's what happens when a 21,000-pound bomb explodes in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region, where at least 36 ISIS fighters have lost their life.
That's right.
Welcome to the final hour of the week on Fox and Friends. And guess who's here? Do you recognize
Geraldo
him?
Rivera.
Barely.
Hey, Geraldo. Geraldo, my video's black and white.
Good morning.
That is what freedom looks like. That's the red, white, and blue.
Well, one of my favorite things in the 16 years I've been here at Fox News is watching bombs drop.
Watching bombs drop on bad guys. There it is. That's what freedom looks like. That video is in black and white. But that's the red, white, and blue. And demented you have to be.
Maybe because of vacation. Of course it's insane and demented.
More jarring.
But it is. Like, that's really sick.
That music is sort of like the Wagner of our time, which is terrifying.
Yes. Unbelievable.
We're all going to die.
Hey, folks. Over the vacation, I caught up on a lot of magazine articles. I don't get a chance to read as many long-form articles as I used to when I was a normal human being. Not just sort of ingesting, like, what's the state of play of the budget negotiations. And that's why I love my Texture app. Lets me read trusted sources, but sources that I don't normally read because I don't have the time to aggregate them. It has over 200 magazines available. Puts an endless supply of in-depth interviews and articles in the palm of your hand. And for me, I love it because I can go through, when I have a little bit of time, I go through, I check off like what I want to read later. I heart it. I basically create my own magazine for those rare occasions where my kids are not harassing me. And I get like, oh, I have a half hour here. Or I'm going to lock myself in the bathroom and I'm going to read a long form article. I'll do it on my Texture app. I don't have to dig for it. Thanks to Texture's daily recommendations and exclusive interactive features, you can also easily pinpoint the articles that you want to read. Texture is searchable. So like I said, you can mark what you like, check out old issues, view bonus video content seamlessly. They've got everything. National Geographic, to Fast Company, to Rolling Stone, Family Handyman, Wired. Do they have a yoga journal?
No, I think they used to. I don't know if they have it anymore.
Michael's subscription to Chablis Monthly ran out, and so I don't know if they have that on Textured.
Oh, man, frantic.
It was selected as one of Apple's top 2016 iPad apps. Now, it's normally $9.99 a month, which is like the cost of two magazine subscriptions, but you get 200. But if you sign up right now at texture.com/majority, you get a 14-day free trial. That's 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/majority. Texture.com/majority. Now, I don't want to freak Kelly out, but the best time to find a new employee is when you don't need one or they've taken an extended vacation. I just made up that second part. But you know how I will do it, right? I mean, this is like the sword of Damocles I hold over the heads of everybody who works here.
And it'll be much more efficient this time.
Yeah. ZipRecruiter. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. ZipRecruiter already has 9 million resumes you can search through in your database. But it also posts your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. It's so easy. And not only is their interface easy in terms of posting your job, in getting responses, there's no juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. It helps so much with the organizing of the incoming. And if you run into any issues, don't fret. ZipRecruiter is friendly and human. Support staff is ready to help. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been featured on Forbes, Wall Street Journal, Time, The New York Times, TechCrunch, and CBS, and why it's been used by over 1 million businesses. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. One more time, try for free, ZipRecruiter.com/majority.
You have time for a brief aside?
Yeah.
I just thought of this because of the Yoga Journal thing. I forgot it, but it was amazing meeting so many people at the Bell House. And I remember one guy, and I'm sorry, I forget his name, but he was well trained by you because he came up to me and he's like, "You must be so pissed to be out here today." And I was like, "Why?" And he's like, "Well, I'm assuming like missed a yoga class. You have like an afternoon wine tasting you're bailing." He had every single chain of the yoga wine mythology. It was good.
I will noted. That guy gets a shofar. I love it. One other thing that we missed over the weekend, which was, and of course there was huge protests on the 15th, that was Saturday, across the country, which I guess Donald Trump was very concerned who was paying for it. I didn't know that you get paid for those protests. You gotta sign up for that one. But because Donald Trump refusing to release his tax forms, the idea was he claims it's just him. Get it in the news. Very effective in that accord. We'll also talk about what took place in Berkeley, where there was big clashes between Antifa and FA, essentially, of forces. But this is another one of those small things that will get lost in the mix. And just another norm that is now going to go down the wayside. Because you know now, even a Democratic president, you know, maybe it'll, you know, maybe a Bernie Sanders would do it differently. But certainly this is something once the taxes are gone, and then once something like this, we're going to talk about this policy change of not basically letting the public know for 5 years who's entered the White House. These are important procedural things about our government, process things, which I normally don't get hung up on, but just that provide for good government. And, of course, now, you know, if only they had this when Devin Nunes needed to get to the White House, they wouldn't have had any of those issues, would they have? But here is the policy changes at the White House, brought to you by Fox News Sunday.
Another change this week by this president, not a change in his policy, but from the previous presidents. He now says that this White House is no longer going to routinely release visitor logs showing who's coming to the White House, who they're meeting with, as President Obama did. And another interesting development this weekend, there were massive marches across the country, people protesting. Tax marches, people demanding that President Trump release his tax returns, as presidents have routinely since Jimmy Carter. And that was the subject of a tweet this morning from President Trump. Let's put it up on the screen. President apparently not liking those marches. He says, "I did what was an almost impossible thing to do for a Republican, easily won the Electoral College. Now tax returns are brought up again." Jillian, this president apparently thinks transparency is overrated.
Well, that's the message. I'm getting it loud and clear.
Yes. Great. That's so great. They're really slamming him, huh? Apparently, he just thinks transparency is overrated.
Yeah, transparent. I just am trying to think of all of the, like, why, you know, like, why did you run that red light? I can bench press 200 pounds.
Right.
It's incredible. It's like non sequitur bragging about the Electoral College.
All right. So one little more piece of house cleaning, and then we're going to get into.
I mean, obviously, it's never
where we
happen.
Are with North Korea. What's that?
Right. I mean, he's never going to release his tax returns. Like, it's clear.
No, but I'll tell you,
it is. They should keep pushing it, but it's not
going to
happen.
I'll get to the story in a minute about what's going on with these with the constant pressure that's being put on Republican congressmen in these town halls, because the taxes becomes just something to hang around him. He will not release them. Of course not. But it becomes a leverage point for the Democrats. It begins to hurt the Republicans. We'll get into that in a moment. I just wanted to read this email, which I thought was pretty funny. Just coffee feedback from listener Steven. Sam and Majority Report crew. As a 10-year single-origin micro-roast coffee person, which made me laugh out loud. I mean, with all due respect, because I didn't even
know. I don't even know what that means.
I didn't even know what that meant. I guess what it means is that you need to get your coffee. It can't be like Colombian and Ecuadorian roast. And it has to come from not like a mass micro roaster. A macro roaster, I guess. And I am loyal to a number of micro roasters across the country. So I was hesitant to try Just Coffee MR Medium Roast Blend. This is also, right, you're like a micro, you have the same attitude towards pot, right? Like you just, there's like a very specific micro, like just a couple of, hydroponic growers across the country that you...
You like to make sure things are sustainably sourced.
All right, so he was hesitant. However, Just Coffee is a co-op, supports great causes, including Majority Report. It should be a no-brainer to support Just Coffee. I made the plunge. MR Blend is a great medium roast blend. 2 exclamation points. I will put Just Coffee in my own rotation and try some of their single origins. Thanks to the great show, Steve H. Plus, P.S., love the discussion with Ganesh Sitaraman. Folks, this month, Just Coffee, this is why he tried it. MR Spring 17, you get 30% off. There's free shipping, 30% off. Now is the time to try it. You can get a 5-pound bag. If you hurry, you'll get a, you can try a 1-pound bag, get it sent to you, order your 5-pound bag. So you're going to want to do that. And also, he's right. The interview with Ganesh Sitaraman was one of my favorite interviews that we've done. And also, Henry Heller. Fascinating interview from last week on the development of, I mean, it really ultimately became sort of like the idea of how we don't have history. In that one interview, I gained a better sense of like the relevance of history than I had in, I think, maybe ever. It's very strange. And I'm not exactly sure what it was about that interview, but it was, it's a great interview to check out. All right. Obviously, Michael will probably be talking more about Turkey in the next couple of days. But basically, the long and short of it is Erdogan had put up a referendum that had a package of amendments to the Constitution, which essentially made the parliament and the Supreme Court sort of adjunct members of the government, and where his power, and I do mean his power, was increased, not just his position, but his position as, I guess, ostensibly president of Turkey. Is that how he refers to himself?
Yeah, he's president.
Is now also can be the leader of the political party that he's a part of. So essentially, he's there for, I think, you know, a minimum, as it's written now, 14 years. There'll be re-elections, of course, but he now owns just about everything. And by owning it, I mean everything. He appoints the cabinet members who would be accountable only to him and not to parliament. He has the option of appointing one or more vice presidents who would, again, not report to lawmakers. This is basically like the dukes, I guess. He would appoint all senior civil servants. Those would be the, what's below dukes? Maybe those are the dukes.
Counts?
Yeah.
Is that what, I don't know.
And
Trump would know.
Would have the power to directly and indirectly select almost all judges on the high judicial bodies, including the Constitutional Court. So this is basically like, you're into like Andrew Cuomo territory. I'm sure. And, but he... Also, he will, he's amended the powers of the State Supervisory Board, which is a presidential body that oversees the activities of public and private bodies, including unions, business chambers, football clubs, nonprofit organizations, basically like any group. And it would give the board prosecutorial powers over those institutions, meaning the president basically could say, like, let's go over this group. They ostensibly are a football club, but they're getting a little too political. So Michael will get more in-depth with that, I'm sure, in the coming days.
Yeah.
But why am I going to bring a
tragedy?
Why am I bringing a sandwich to an all-you-can-eat buffet when we got Michael here, right? There you go.
There you go.
On the turkey. Boom. On the turkey desk. As far as what's going on in North Korea, Mike Pence is there. somebody
can't
said,
have
look. I don't even want we put the picture up. I mean, this
can't,
is so
I
childish.
Can't have dinner with a woman that isn't my wife, but I can escalate us into a global war.
Do you have that picture of him wearing the flight jacket? I just have to credit I just want to credit my friend Larry for sending me this picture. Do you have it? I probably should have sent it, but I don't know how to send it to you, really. Okay, well, we'll find it another way. But he was supposedly sent over there to screw up North Korea's gaydar. Sorry. I mean, it's ridiculous. But that picture of him is pretty funny. He definitely looks like he's the old sweetheart, I will never go out with a woman without you.
My first reaction to that was
only men.
Trump is going to get jealous about presidential Pence, but Michael, you thought that Trump is too afraid and happy
I think
to have
Trump
Pence
might have an anxiety attack going to the DMZ.
I'm not going there. No.
Now, the next level of speculation, which we were getting into, is that too afraid to go, but if he perceives that Pence is getting like masculinity points, he'll get angry. And then through a back channel through China, he'll offer them a deal on trade. And also Mike Pence as tribute. They could feed
take Mike Pence,
feed him to dogs. I need to save face.
I'm going to
people get that.
I want to be on a carrier. Get me on a carrier, but I want it to be docked in the East River.
I want a carrier on the East River, and I want Mike Pence fed to North Korean dogs. What's the problem with that? Can't accomplish anything.
The North Korean regime attempted to fire a missile that ostensibly was going to test its intercontinental capabilities. It exploded, as far as I can tell, on the launch pad, which was helpful insofar as Trump had basically made a threat that if you launch this, we're going to do something bad. And apparently when he met with the Chinese premier, do we have any of him talking about that, or we don't have that?
We have it just as sassy
Trump. Oh, we just have it as a sassy Trump, but we don't have that part about where he talks about... Okay. All right. We'll come back around to that. We'll play some of that sound. We do have him as Sassy Trump talking about his how he told the Chinese premier about the news of the Syrian bombing, and this is pretty stunning. This is pretty stunning. This video is pretty stunning for a couple of reasons. One, because Maria Bartiromo is so fawning.
She doesn't need to be dubbed or anything in this bit. Just play it completely straight.
It's stunning. It's a 2.5 minute clip, and so we thought it would be too much for people to listen to the actual Donald Trump, but it is a sassy Trump video where he's obviously, it's the exact words that Trump used, just done in a sassier voice. And this is Donald Trump both believing a line or lying about the Chinese premier's response to the Syrian bombing or believing the Chinese premier's response as being actual. Two, getting confused about what was actually going on at that moment. And then three, forgetting which country we bombed. Here it is.
With the president of China, you're launching these military strikes.
Yeah.
Was that planned? How did that come about that it's happening right then? Because right there you're saying a reminder, here's who the superpower in the world is.
You have pause no it, idea how
it,
many.
Pause it. Hold on for 1 second. I mean, just that question in and of itself is just, she's giddy in asking, and you have no. You showed him by dropping 50 Tomahawk missiles into nothing. I mean, this is, remember the old pinprick strikes they talked about to mock Clinton? This is the pinprickiest. Now, look, I'm glad, although I would have liked to have spent that $50 to $100 million on something better.
Refugee support.
Refugee
reversing
support.
Our refugee Muslim ban and funding opportunities for Syrians in everywhere they're fleeing from the slaughter.
Well, that would have been that's just a start. So here, we'll let sassy Trump respond.
You will want to know the answer to this. I have watched speculation on 3 days now on what that was like.
When did you?
You'll be surprised. I'll tell you.
Before dessert?
I mean, I will tell you. Only because you've treated me so good for so long, I have to tell you, right? I was sitting at the table. We had finished dinner. We're now having dessert. And we had the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake you've ever seen. And President Xi was enjoying it. And I was given the message from the generals that the ships are locked and loaded. What do you do? And we made a determination to do it. So the missiles were on their way. And I said, Mr. President, let me explain something to you. This is during dessert. We've just fired 59 missiles. All of which hit, by the way. Unbelievable from, you know, hundreds of miles away. All of which hit. Amazing.
Unmanned. Brilliant.
It's so incredible. It's brilliant. It's genius. Our brilliant. Technology, our equipment is better than anybody. Mm. Body by a factor of 5. I mean, what we have in terms of technology, nobody can even come close to competing. Oh, we're going to start getting it. Because, you know, the military's been cut back and depleted so badly by the past administration. And by the war in Iraq, which was such a disaster. So what happens is, I said, we've just launched 59 missiles heading to Iraq.
You're headed to Syria?
Yes. Heading toward Syria. Yeah. And I want you to know that. Because I didn't want him to go home. We'd almost finished. Yeah. It was a full day in Palm Beach. We'd almost finished. And I, what does he do? To finish his dessert and go home. And then they say, you know, the guy you just had dinner with just attacked.
How did he react?
So
pause it. I just love the look on her face. Is, I mean, if I want to be really charitable to her, that maybe she thought, like, this is my way of getting Trump to say all this stuff. But honestly,
oh man,
like,
that's a lot of charity.
I mean, honestly, like, you know, you're talking about bombing. There should be just a little bit less excitement in your face.
There's another layer to it. First and foremost, it's obscene to talk about bombing this way. But she also has this other dynamic, which it's weird because Trump is just being like, well, you know, she probably said, I know you're a great business guy, so now they're best of friends.
Right.
But she's doing the whole, like, subtext for her is like, did she get it? Did he get that we've got the bombs? Like, she's not only fawning over the actual bombing. She's like, did you stare down the Chinese premier?
Right. Like, oh, this is a great story of how you beat up that weakling.
React.
So he paused for 10 seconds. And then he asked the interpreter to please say it again. I didn't think that was a good sign. And he said to me, anybody that uses gases, you could almost say, or anything else, but anybody that was so brutal and uses gases to do that to young children and babies, it's okay. He was okay with it. He was okay.
Yeah, just tell the president I'm okay with it. Thumbs up. Like, what's he going to do? Get up from the table and go, I'm not eating this chocolate cake?
This cake is terrible. I wasn't being serious. By the way, I feel like I have a stomach flu coming on because of the horrible health violations at your disgusting resort.
There's another clip of him.
Well, you know what he did do next? He went to his defense and foreign ministers and the Politburo, and he was like, the 20-year plan needs to be sped up.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, this is...
Significantly.
Well, there's a clip, and I don't think we have it, of... We're looking for it, of Trump basically saying, can you take care of North Korea? And then Xi Jinping basically explaining to him the dynamic, and Trump just being blown away in 10 minutes. Here it is. This is... Now, the amazing thing about... just listen to this clip, because this is from that same interview with Maria Bartiromo, where he is talking about Trump is finding out for the first time that there's a tough dynamic with North Korea. Like, you'd imagine, right, that Trump would be briefed before meeting with the leader of the most populous country in the world. But apparently, no. Oh, no, we don't have the video?
Yeah, no, I can't. That video's not loading.
All right, well, if we get back to it. All right, but I want to get into also what took place in Kansas and in Illinois. Tomorrow in Georgia is the big special election in Georgia's 6th district. And Democrats have been coming out for early voting at an unprecedented pace. What is interesting, though, is that according to Nate Cohn, Democratic turnout reaching 80% of midterm levels in a few precincts near EV sites. In other words, early voting got to 80% of off-year election numbers even before the vote is held. In Lower DeKalb, it's still in the 20s. In Lower DeKalb County, apparently, there are no or very few and very limited early voting sites. In other words, voter suppression works. I mean, it's not surprising. You can make things marginally more difficult that will have big returns in terms of keeping people from voting. Now, with that said, and this is all just sort of anecdotal looking on Twitter, there seems to be a highly motivated group of people in DeKalb County, Democrats, coming out to vote for John Ossoff. So we'll see. We'll see. It's one of those things that's going to come down to turnout. It's going to come down to how many Democrats say, we're just going to vote for this, because, again, this is what they call a jungle primary, something like 11 people running, maybe 8 Republicans, 3 Democrats. If Ossoff gets over 50%, he wins. If he's in the top 2, it goes to a runoff, which, you know, there's been a narrative that it will be much more difficult for him to win in a runoff. It probably will, but not necessarily, but we'll see. But the big story that people were highlighting was, of course, in Kansas, you had a special election. This was for Mike Pompeo's seat, right? Was it Pompeo?
Yes, Pompeo, that's right.
And Democrat James Thompson held Republican Ron Estes, who is already twice elected a statewide treasurer, to a 7-point victory in what is an incredibly red district that Donald Trump carried by 27 points. That is a 20-point swing from Trump's, the R-plus index, if you measure it by Trump's win. If there was a 20-point swing in every district along those same lines across the country in 2018, Democrats would elect 112 new people to Congress. That's obviously not going to happen. But you had Republicans dumping in a lot of money late there. Again, Daily Kos seem to have been the only real funder of this. The Democrats more or less sat this out. The Bernie-crats, I mean, the guy himself was a Bernie-crat. But my understanding is that Bernie people have taken over the Kansas State Democratic Party. They did not offer this guy a tremendous amount of support. Now, they may not have had it, and it may have been too early, but the National Democrats certainly didn't. It was basically Daily Kos, which is another sort of fascinating story of what's going on over there. But now, Daily Kos is turning their attention to the Omaha mayoral race. And I got to credit our caller, Sanjeeva, is it?
Sanjeeva from Iowa.
From Iowa, who gave us a heads up on both these races weeks ago. Omaha Mayor Gene Stothert is getting challenged by a Democrat, Heath Mello, who's a former state senator. In the mayoral primary, Stothert just took 43% to Mello's 41%. For an incumbent, that's pretty bad. The idea is that if Mello can win this mayor's seat, it will help in the second congressional district, which is basically two-thirds made up by Omaha. And this is a seat that it's apparently a swing, sort of a purple seat. So if you're in Omaha and you have the opportunity to help out Heath Mello, do it. It'll have national implications. If you're in Georgia and have the opportunity to help get out the vote tomorrow, do it. Go to John Ossoff's page. We'll find a link for that and put it up at majority.fm. I'm sure people are already into that. But here's also what's interesting. There was a story about a bunch of local elections in Illinois that took place, I guess, about a week and a half ago. And the city of Kanaki elected its first African-American Democratic mayor. West Deerfield Township will be led entirely by Democrats for the first time. Elgin Township voted for a complete changeover, flipping to an all-Democratic board. Normal Township elected a Democratic supervisors and trustees to run its board the first time in more than 100 years that a single Democrat has held the seat. These are all local elections. They're not going to implicate national policy, but this is where it starts, is with locals taking over their town's apparatus. And this brings you resources and helps when you start talking about statewide elections, when you talk about state senators, when you talk about taking back legislatures, when you talk about congressmen, congresswomen. This is big stuff. It's really important. It's exactly how the crazy people took over. And the thing is that we don't have unions anymore, which was the fundamental driver, the biggest apparatus that the left had. And in the absence of those, nothing has come into play. You know, like on the right, they have churches. Some instances, churches can be powerful in driving the African-American vote. But broadly speaking, the churches work for the Republicans. It's big mega churches. There's also apparently a program that a representative in Illinois, Sherry Bustos, created called Build the Bench. It's an all-day boot camp that offers nuts and bolts details for running a successful campaign. If you are a state rep or a politico in a state across the country, I imagine contacting Representative Sherry Bustos, B-U-S-T-O-S, in Illinois would not be difficult, and getting basically the program. 12 Build the Bench alumni ran for local seats in this election cycle. 8 of them won. A ninth is down by one vote in her race for the Peoria City Council. So, I mean, this is doable, folks. It's really doable. I mean, if you're looking for something to do and a way to get involved, this is a great way to get involved.
And for what it's worth, you know, there's and if you're in a really like democratic machine state, there's an opportunity to have insurgencies there as well, you know.
Great time to take over those things. Meanwhile, in the House, over well over 50% of the caucus now has signed on to and expand the Social Security bill. And we are now up to almost 50% of the Democratic caucus co-sponsoring John Conyers' Medicare for All bill. Now, he's been introducing this bill, I think, since the first term of George Bush, I think it was. And apparently, the highest it's ever reached in terms of co-sponsors of the Democratic caucus was 37%. So you have 48% of the Democratic caucus. There are at least 95 co-signers. 93. And the number is growing. And I think part of that is once you've solidified the Affordable Care Act, moving forward in terms of expanding is... that's a good thing. Now, this is obviously nothing that's going to be implemented in any time soon. Although, who knows with Donald Trump? Maybe he just decides, okay, whatever. Bernie Sanders is expected to introduce a single-payer health care. I don't know how different it would be from Medicare for all, but another program in the Senate. And it remains to be seen how many co-sponsors he'll have. But, you know, it's good seeing the Democrats at least, you know, put out some type of policy proposals. Does the, do we have sort of the national Democrats talking about this stuff? Not as much I would like. But this is where it starts. Hopefully these things can be nationalized in some way. All right. We're going to take a break, head into the fun half of the... well, let me just talk about this EPA stuff too, because Scott Pruitt, as you know, the one thing that the Donald Trump administration can do effectively is to basically deregulate. And they put out a notice, basically an invitation to American manufacturers. Tell us what you want to do and what's preventing you from doing it in terms of regulations. I mean, that's basically what it was. I don't think they were shy about that. And it was basically, what's your regulatory rollback wish? There was 168 comments. 80 some odd percent of them were from trade groups, lobbyists. 79 of the comments dealt with EPA regulations. 38, labor, and then Army Corps of Engineers, FDA, and energy made up the rest. The comments by regulation, 48 were about the Clean Air Act. 31 was about new source reviews. That's where do we get to dig or mine or drill. 30 were about the Clean Air Act. Then the 26 National Ambient Air Quality Standards. Who would want this?
Well, thing? Why would you do that? It's just such a hindrance.
Such a hindrance to... Here are some of the notable items on the industry's to-do list. BP wants to make it easier to drill for oil and gas in the Gulf of Mexico by reducing how often companies must renew their leases. On that same day, New York Times reported that that BP worked through the weekend to control a damaged oil well on Alaska's remote North Slope that had started spewing natural gas vapors on Friday morning. There have been no injuries or reports of damage to wildlife. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, sure.
Alaskan and federal officials have identified two leaks venting methane gas, a powerful greenhouse gas linked to climate change. While some crude is sprayed out of the well, BP said infrared cameras on a flight over the site appeared to confirm that the oil release was contained on the gravel pad surrounding the wellhead and did not reach the tundra.
Looks good from up here.
Yeah.
You know what it is that it just gets really complicated because you've had a natural gas leak and you got to send your people out, primarily your PR people, to pretend that there hasn't actually been a catastrophe with wildlife and that the local water supply hasn't been poisoned or something like that, whatever. And then all of a sudden you get hit with, I got to reapply for a permit. So then it's like your whole attention is split.
Yep.
You can't focus on the crisis communications as fully as you'd like. And all the next thing you know, you're shelling out more money.
By Sunday afternoon, crews had shut down one leak with a surface safety valve. But the second leak, although reduced, was still spouting gas. It was unknown how much gas leaked. And the company would investigate the causes of the accident and repairs will be made. Anyways, back to the list of the industry's to-do list. A trade association representing pavement industry wants to preclude geological survey from conducting what the group says is advocacy research into the environmental impact of coal tar. Oh, yeah. You're just advocating for a clean air. The Chamber of Commerce wants to reduce the amount of time opponents have to challenge federal approval of projects. Challenges would have to be filed within 2 years, down from 6. Chamber also wants to jettison a requirement that employers report their injury and illness records electronically to the Labor Department so they can be posted on the internet for anyone to see. This is private. How we hurt our workers is between us and the workers once they've been hurt.
Wait, does that overlap with Haley Sweetland Edwards? Remember that she was writing that piece about how freedom of speech was being used by corporations?
I don't doubt it.
Okay, right.
And in its 51-page comment, make federal agencies responsible again. The Associated General Contractors of America recommended repealing 11 of President Obama's executive orders and memorandums, including one establishing paid sick leave for government contractors. These federal agencies are being irresponsible by requiring paid sick leave by people who federal taxpayers pay to do our work. So that is what's going on the regulatory front. However, it's not just getting rid of these pesky little clean air, labor safety, clean water regulations. No, Scott Pruitt wants to go for the whole kit and caboodle. As he says on Fox and Friends.
Talk about the Paris Agreement. Are we on the path to getting out of that?
Well, Paris is something that we need to really look at closely because it's something we need to exit, in my opinion. It's a bad deal for America. It was an America's second, third, or fourth kind of approach. China and India had no obligations under the agreement until 2030. We front-loaded all of our costs.
What's your biggest objection to the Paris Agreement?
That America was put last, that the previous administration went into Paris and said that China and India had...
We don't even need to hear anymore. This is all lies. First of all, you can even hear what he's saying. they don't have goals until 2030, but we front-loaded all our costs. Well, no, we all have goals, 2025, 2030, but your costs are now because you've got to begin to do that. And India and China are, in fact, en route to superseding those goals. I think we are. These goals were not very intense. The idea is that it's less about the obligations of this. I mean, the United States is already like halfway there.
And China and India actually are very intent to the, I mean, you're right. They're very modest goals, but both governments are committed to taking action on climate.
But the point is that there is a mutual commitment that everyone is going to do this. And so that basically is an accelerant. Once there's broad agreement that we're all going to do this, politically, both domestically speaking and in terms of like with other countries, it becomes an accelerant. You can actually do more because unless you've got a shill for basically the drilling industry, fossil fuel industry, tainting the water by claiming exactly the opposite. And so inherent in his attacks is the value of the Paris Accords, which is that if you have people who are not serial and paid liars, everybody gets on board because everybody has gotten on board. But one person comes and says, oh, we're getting screwed in this. That's the way that they begin to muck up the process. So,
to be fair, my first negotiating position was always, how do we lose on this? What puts America last? Look, this isn't a fake red line like with Syria. My actual red line is, what is the most disadvantageous to the United States and the filthy, disgusting, fat, white race for which it represents?
Je voulais finir. How do I say that?
It's great to be in Paris. Not as good as it is to be in Riyadh, but I'll take what I can get. How can we make these negotiations a big fat L for the United States? Allahu Akbar.
All right, we got to take a break, head into the fun half. Hey, folks, don't forget, your membership makes this show possible. You can become a member today. A lot of people have been writing us emails over the week. I will get to them in the next couple of days, I promise you, if you're having any problems or whatnot. JoinTheMajorityReport.com, JoinTheMajorityReport.com, where you can become a member. Don't forget that Just Coffee promo, 30% for the month of April off by putting in MRSpring17. We'll have that in the podcast description. And also, if you buy crap from Amazon or from Jet.com, buy it through our link at MajorityReportKickback.com, 646-257-3920. We'll take your phone calls. We'll be right back after this.